Well, let's open up our Bibles, if you're not already there, to Ephesians chapter 5. Continuing in our study through the book of Ephesians. And in the bulletin, it says that we were going to be discussing marriage and family. And yet the Lord, as I was studying this week, kind of had me pause in some of the previous verses and make mention of what I believe is the real significant key to being able to have a successful marriage and family. As Paul will move in Ephesians chapter 5 towards the end, and then on into chapter 6, he's going to talk about relationships. Relationships between husbands and wives, between children and parents, between employers and employees. But there's something that Paul says in this passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that really is the key, I believe, to being able to do those things. So if you'd look with me in chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation." And notice this, "but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. You remember in chapters 4 and 5, Paul has been instructing us as to how we are to walk with the Lord. Now that we know all that we have in Jesus, now that we know everything that God has done for us and on our behalf, now in response to the finished work of Christ, this is how I am to walk. And he encouraged us, you remember, in the beginning of chapter 4, to walk worthy of the calling with which you have received. In other words, I am to walk in accordance with the calling I've received. It's a heavenly calling. It's a powerful calling, and I want to walk worthy of it. And then Paul spoke about furthermore in chapter 4 that not only do I walk worthy of this calling, but I'm to walk in maturity. I'm to grow in my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am walking in maturity as I'm feeding upon the Word of God, as I'm growing in the Lord. There is a maturity coming to your life. You're moving from being an infant, if you would, a baby in Christ, to more of a mature Christian. You're walking now in maturity. Also, Paul made mention that as you walk in maturity, your eyes are being opened to the truth of God's word, and now you walk in purity. We don't walk like the rest of the world. We don't walk in licentiousness. We don't walk in the futility of the world any longer. We're now walking in purity as a Christian, as you mature. And Paul said further, we are to walk in love in chapter 5, imitating our Heavenly Father, following His example, loving unconditionally, loving with that agape love that it speaks of there. And finally, Paul said, as we looked at last week, we are to walk in light and to walk in wisdom. And as we walk closely with the Lord, a number of things happen to our lives in Christ. One, it affects our character. It changes who we are by walking closely with Jesus. Not only does it affect our character, but also it affects our conduct. Instead of the rotten fruit of the flesh coming to fruition in our lives, now we're yielding the peaceable fruits of righteousness because we're walking with the Lord. And also, it affects our concerns. We're placing everything that we do before the Lord, before His word, and asking the question, Lord, is this your will for my life? Is this your purpose for my life? Are you pleased with this? That's what happens when you begin to walk with the Lord. A purity, a maturity, a walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom. But in order to be able to walk with the Lord, we need to be filled with the Spirit. That is the key to walking with Jesus. You have to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not a program that you follow. It's not perspiration of trying really hard and I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna work it. I'm gonna make it happen. It's not perspiration. It's not a program. It's found in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you walk with the Lord. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's my objective today in the time that we have remaining to speak for a moment to you about who is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Secondly, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Thirdly, how is one to be filled with the Spirit? And finally, what are the manifestations of a life that is filled with the Spirit? How do you know if somebody is filled with the Spirit? Oftentimes people ask that question, are you filled with the Spirit? You know, well, what's the evidence of whether or not a person has been filled with the Spirit of God? So first of all, who is the Holy Spirit? If you are unaware of this fact, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These three separate and distinct in their function, and yet they're one. And you may be saying, could you explain that a little further? That's pretty much all I can talk about the Trinity. It goes beyond my ability to fully comprehend it. The Bible teaches it, yet I don't fully understand how it all works out. I just know that the three are one and the three have a distinct role, and yet they're all united and all combined. And there are illustrations that people use to try to explain the Trinity, but even that is, you're limited in your understanding of it. Some people say, well, it's like an apple. I remember as a young child getting a book, and I still see the picture in my mind. It was a big book, and it had a picture of an apple. And it had the skin of the apple, it had the meat of the apple, and then it had the seed. Three parts, and yet they were all one. And I remember seeing that as a child, and that was my first, I was probably 5 years old, and that was the first time I ever had somebody describe to me in picture pop-up form the Trinity. But even that's limited, you know? It goes beyond our ability to comprehend, but you can rest assured the Bible teaches that these three are one. There is a triunity of God. Now, over the years, many cults have attacked the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, basically teach that the Holy Spirit is not really a person at all, but he's merely an essence or an influence. That the Holy Spirit is no more personal in your life than a breeze from a fan. That's kind of what they believe. And this, of course, is nothing new. If you go back and you examine church history and you go back through the years, you'll see various heretical teachings and aberrant doctrines like the Arian heresy that spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, saying that he had no divine qualities whatsoever. And they deny the deity of the Holy Spirit. But when you read through the scriptures, you come to understand very clearly that the Holy Spirit is God. All the way back to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, when it talks about in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit of God was there from the very beginning in creation. Why? Because he's God. As you continue to read through the Bible, you see that all of the attributes that are attributed to God are also attributed to the Holy Spirit. For example, the psalmist in Psalm 139 speaks of the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit. You remember the psalmist said, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I go to get away from you? If I go into the heights of heaven, you're there. If I descend into the deepest parts of the sea, you're there. There's nowhere that I can go to get away from your Spirit," because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at one time. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit is not only omnipresent, but he's omniscient. The Bible tells us that he knows all things. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that it's the Spirit of God that searches the deep things of God. He knows everything. He is also omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1, as it speaks about the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, you remember, and the power of the highest overshadowing her. And in order that the Holy One was to be born, will be called the Son of God. All powerful, all knowing, everywhere at one time. And furthermore, he is eternal. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that there is an eternal Spirit. He is also sovereign. The Bible tells us again in 1 Corinthians 12 that one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one as he wills. Completely sovereign. All of these attributes are attributed to the Holy Spirit because he is deity. He is God. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, he is referred to as God. You may recall in Acts chapter 5 when the early church was beginning to form. that there was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who came before the apostles and said that they sold a piece of property for such and such amount. And they came and you remember, they lied. And when Peter was confronting them, he said, "You have not lied to man, but you've lied to God," in reference to the person of the Holy Spirit. We also see that the Holy Spirit is not some phantom, some essence, because the Bible tells us he has a personality. He can be lied to. He can be grieved, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. He can be resisted. He can even be, as Jesus told us, blasphemed. He also works as a person. The Bible says that he speaks. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Not only does he speak, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that he intercedes on our behalf. He helps us. He assists us in prayer and prays for us. The Bible says, Romans 8:26. John 15 tells us that he testifies of the things concerning Jesus to us, the church. He strives with man, the Bible says. He comforts us when we need comfort. He guides us when we need direction. All of these things attributed to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in his personality. Well, what is the role of the Holy Spirit within the world at the present time? Jesus told us very clearly what the role of the Holy Spirit was in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8. He said concerning the Spirit, when he comes, that is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in the world right now? One, convicting the world of sin. When you're convicted of sin, do you know who it is that's convicting you? It's the Holy Spirit. When you know you shouldn't do something, and then you go ahead and do it, and suddenly there's a thought in your mind like, hey, that's not right. Do you know who that is? It's not Jiminy Cricket. You understand? It's not your conscience. Hey, Pinocchio. No, it's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, John, whoever you are, stop that. That's not the Lord. He convicts us of sin. He also convicts us of righteousness, shows us that we need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And he also reveals through the Word of God that there's judgment that's coming. All of this, a work of the Holy Spirit in the world at the present time. The Bible also tells us concerning the Holy Spirit that each believer has the opportunity to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Basically, folks, that's how we relate to the Lord, through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a threefold relationship that Jesus referred to. Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 14, he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. And Jesus said this, he dwells with you, and he will be in you. First of all, a twofold relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to be with you. It means beside you. Listen carefully. Before you were a Christian, the one who was drawing you to Jesus, the one who was stirring you up to seek further truth that you had no idea of. You knew there was more to life, and you knew that there was more than what you had at the present time, and you always knew it, and there was always something there stirring you and drawing you and wooing you, if you would, to Jesus Christ. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit isn't working, a person isn't going to be saved, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to draw us to Jesus Christ. So yes, he is with you. And then you respond to the Holy Spirit and you confess your sin to the Lord and you say, like so many of us here today, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. The Holy Spirit drew you. You recognize Jesus for who he was. And then the Spirit of God now resides within you. And again, I can't fully explain how that all works. Where is he anyways? You know, he's there. He's within you, the Bible says. But then Jesus also told us in the book of Acts that there was one final aspect of that relationship with the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples to go into Jerusalem and to wait, and that the Spirit of God would come upon them. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. But Jesus said there's another work of the Holy Spirit that's going to be done, and that is he's going to come upon you. He's going to empower you to be my witnesses. And so when the apostles went and waited in that upper room, waiting for the Spirit, it says that they were tarrying and they were waiting, and the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them power to be witnesses for Christ. There is a tremendous difference from the gospel, seeing the apostles, to you come to the book of Acts, and they are completely different men. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit had now come upon them and empowered them for service. They were changed. They were altered, transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit then fills us and seals us by the Spirit. And also, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify me. He saves me. He seals me. Which means, by saying the word he seals me, it means I'm the Lord's. I'm his. I belong to him. But also he sanctifies me, which means he sets me apart. He starts working in my life, starts working in those areas that need work. And many of us, as we continue to walk with the Lord, you know those areas are revealed, aren't they? Not all at once, but over time. The Spirit of God puts his finger on certain things, whether it be pride or selfishness or whatever, starts coming to the surface. We start seeing it for what it is. And the Holy Spirit is pointing out those things. Hey, this needs to change. Hey, I really want to do a work in this part of your life. I really want to alter that aspect of your personality, John. That needs to change. And so the Spirit of God begins to sanctify, a sanctifying work. But he also empowers me for service, to serve Jesus Christ, coming upon me. Now, let me say again that we believe that to be filled with the Spirit, and you can call it what you want, the baptism of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, whatever you want to call it, you need it. I need it. I need to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells with a person prior to conversion, drawing them to Christ, convicting them of sin in order to bring them to the Savior. But when a person is converted, they're born again of the Spirit. Now there is a work that I ask God to do. Lord, now empower me for service. Come upon me. And as you read through the book of Acts, for many, you'll find that that was after conversion. And there are countless examples of this in the book of Acts. And you can look at some of them. You remember when there was a revival that was breaking out in the area of Samaria, that Philip, the evangelist, went down into Samaria preaching the gospel to those who were in that area. Acts chapter 8. And they believed. And they were converted. They were born again. But then it says they called for Peter and John to come down to Samaria and see what was going on. And when Peter and John came down, it says they prayed over them and they were all baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. They were already Christians. It was a secondary work to that of salvation. God was doing something beyond. They were saved, but now they were being empowered. The same thing happened to the Apostle Paul. When he was on that road to go persecute more Christians, and the Lord arrested him there and spoke to him. You remember that he responded and said, Lord, who are you and what would you have me to do? And Jesus said, I want you to go into the city and you wait and you'll be told what you should do. And then it says that God moved on the heart of Ananias, a disciple, a follower of Jesus, to go to the home of this particular man and to pray over Saul of Tarsus. And he was nervous at first, and the Lord said, go, he's a chosen vessel of mine. So Ananias goes to the street called Straight. He goes to that home where Saul was, and at that time he was blinded. And he said to him, listen, brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on that road has sent me to you, and you need to be baptized and to be filled with the Spirit. It was a secondary work. Brother Saul, he called him Lord. He had submitted his heart to Jesus, but now there was this empowering for service. There was this coming upon experience, a transformation in his life. And there are other examples found within the book of Acts as well that you can read over. The Holy Spirit, who is he? He's God. What does the Holy Spirit do? He comforts, he assists, he comes alongside, he equips, he empowers us to overcome sin and to be a bold witness for Jesus within the world. The question this morning, as we before we go on, is have you yielded your life to the work of the Holy Spirit? I'm not speaking about salvation. If you're a born-again Christian, yes, you are saved. God has done a work in your life. But are you resisting the work of the Holy Spirit right now? Are you grieving the Holy Spirit by your life? And the way that that can change is with a simple prayer of repentance. Lord, I'm sorry I've been grieving you. Lord, I know that my life has been contradicting who you are. Lord, change me. I repent of that. And Lord, here's the prayer. Lord, would you baptize me? Lord, would you fill me with the Holy Spirit? I personally believe that there is one baptism, many fillings. I believe that there is an experience that happens in the life of the believer after salvation where they are empowered for service. And then after that, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pray, God, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Because quite frankly, as I think it was D.L. Moody said, we leak. You know, it's like, Lord, fill me afresh today. It seems like I gave it all out. Lord, pour it on me today again, afresh in my life. Has that happened in your life? Now, Paul tells us here in the scriptures, as we read, and he makes a comparison here. Don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The translation is literally, be continually being filled. Continually. Not just one time, but daily. Lord, fill me today. Lord, fill me right now. Lord, fill me afresh with the power of the Spirit, God. Continuing to ask the Lord, be ye continually being filled is the translation here. And then Paul draws a parallel between a person who is intoxicated with wine and a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is an interesting illustration because if you think about a person who is intoxicated, someone who is drunken in their mind, their behavior changes radically, doesn't it? It can take a vile man, you know, a perverse man, and he's intoxicated and he starts singing hymns that he learned when he was a little boy. You know, suddenly he's super spiritual and he's weeping and crying and, oh God, and he's not in his right mind because he's controlled by something else. It can also take the most moral man and have the reverse effect on him where it can turn him from somebody who is just completely moral to completely immoral. It can take a person who is rather calm and rather mild-mannered and turn them into somebody who is violent and aggressive. Why? Because they're being controlled by something, dominated by something. They're filled with something, and it has an effect upon how they live their life. And in the same way, what Paul is saying is we're to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit because it transforms my speech. It transforms my behavior. It makes us into different people. It alters our disposition. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is an ongoing process in your life and in mine. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, but I'm sure that if you've been walking with Him for any length of time, you can have a testimony over the fact that there are certain things that Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has changed about you. Hopefully you're able to see that. Because your eyes are being opened, the Spirit of God is working in you through the Word of God, filling you, overflowing your life. And it's interesting. Let's say, for example, you have a cup that's filled with dirt. And it needs to be cleansed. Do you try to take all the dirt out, you know, by hand? It's all crusted, all junky in there, and you try to get it all out. You can't really do it effectively. There's always that residue, always, you can't fully cleanse it. But what do? You put it under the sink and you just begin to run the water. And as the water runs in there, all this dirt starts coming to the surface, and over time it breaks up. And sometimes you just leave it there and you just soak it there and say, I'm going to come back to this after it's soaked for a while. And then you'll see more of these dirt particles coming up, and then you dump it out, and then you pour more water on it, and there's this effect of bringing more dirt out. You know, I really believe that in a sense, as we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. The Holy Spirit gets in there and suddenly it's like, whoa, all this dirt starts coming to the surface. Thinking, what is that? You know, where is that coming from? And I didn't know that it was that. That's dirt in there. And as you just continue to saturate yourself, soak it in, be filled continually with the Spirit of God, man, there's just things that God's doing and God's removing and God's taking out. And each of you probably in your life, you could say, yeah, I've seen that happen to me. In this particular area, I used to be overly concerned about this particular thing. And you know, the Lord, just by His Spirit, He's changed me, and it's not really a big deal anymore. You know, I used to talk like this, and I used to walk like that, and I used to act like this. And you know, it's interesting. And sometimes it's really, you don't even recognize it till later on. Sometimes people are the ones that point it out. You ever notice that? Somebody comes to you and you've been walking with the Lord and the Spirit of God's working in your heart, that sanctifying, that filling, and they come to you and say, you know what? You're interesting. You're kind of different. You know, what's happening? What's going on? Or a Christian brother or sister says, you know what? I see in you, God's really doing a work in you. And that is something that is to be excited about and something to be welcomed when the Holy Spirit begins to fill you. What are the manifestations, if you would, of the Spirit of God within a life? And this is very important. Because there are certain groups today that say, well, the only way that there's something that, you know, if you're really filled with the Spirit, there's a particular gift that needs to follow. And if you don't have that gift, then it's a good indication you don't have the Holy Spirit. And I'm speaking primarily of the gift of tongues. There are certain groups that say, if you don't have that gift, man, you're not filled with the Spirit. You need to get filled. And I remember some friends of mine who I had come in contact with later on, they were in a particular place where that was taught, and they were so condemned. And thought, I don't have the Spirit. It's as if their friends were saying, we've got the Spirit. Yes, we do. We've got the Spirit. How about you? But they didn't have it because there wasn't this manifestation of this particular gift. And they were then they try to work it up. Well, maybe if I try real hard to say, you know, whatever they're saying. And maybe then it'll, do I have it now? And that frustration and that discouragement of, man, I guess I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. What are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Well, one, I believe, as I've been mentioning thus far, there's a change in character. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit's work in your life. And sometimes it's a supernatural work, but it's very natural the way it transpires, as I've mentioned. But some of the manifestations, I believe, of being filled with the Spirit, I'm going to point them out to you here. First of all, back in verse 15, or verse 17, Paul says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When the Spirit of God begins to fill your life and overflow your life and begins that transforming work, you know what happens to you as a Christian? You begin to understand and discern the will of God for your life. That's one of the manifestations. You're now being led by the Spirit. You're hearing and being directed. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Paul said, man can't fully comprehend all that God's doing. Man can't fully grab hold of everything that God is bringing to pass, these deeper things. But if you're filled with the Spirit, they are revealed to you. As you're in the Word of God, you're being led by the Spirit of God, and you're starting to discern what is the will of God. Guys, if we're going to be directed by the Lord, we have to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, fill me, Lord, so that I might discern and understand and comprehend your will for my life. What is your will for my life? What isn't your will for my life? That comes by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually being filled. And that's how you'll be able to discern and recognize the will of God for your life. In addition to understanding the will of God and discerning God's will for your life, Paul makes mention here that there will be a joyfulness within the life of the person who's filled with the Spirit. He says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. As you are filled with the Spirit, there's a joyfulness in your life. And I'm not talking about being fake, you know, or trying to put on something that isn't unique. If you're having a bad day, you're having a bad day. That's just how life is sometimes. But there is a joy that can come in the midst of even the worst of circumstances. And it's really inexplainable. Why should I have joy right now? Why is there this undergirding sense of joy? Well, because you're filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says, we speak to one another in spiritual songs. There's melody in your heart. There's joy in the Lord. Speaking also of worship here. A person who is filled with the Spirit of God, being continually filled with the Spirit of God, they love to worship God. I remember years ago, there was a man who was at our church, and he was a believer. He was born again. But he would always come after worship was over. He'd never come in for worship. And one day he told me, yeah, I always, and sure enough, man, worship would be over. There he is. He'd come right. I want to hear the word. But there was something missing, this aspect of, and I was trying to explain to him, bro, there's something exciting about just worshiping Jesus. It's one, it's a command. Worship the Lord your God. And the Bible even tells us this is how you're to worship, lifting up hands and praising his name and adoring him through song and so forth. He couldn't deal with that. And hopefully he's grown since then. I haven't seen him for some time. But a person that's filled with the Spirit of God, they love to worship God. That's just one of the manifestations of that. There's a joy within the heart of that person. And you know what joy is, don't you? It's something that's different and unique in compared to happiness. Happiness, I just want to be happy, people say. Don't worry, be happy, people say. And how am I to be happy? Well, I do things for myself and it makes me happy. But what happens when things aren't going well and you're no longer happy? What do you do then? Well, you need the joy of the Lord. Because life isn't always happy, is it? Some happiness seems to be really linked to circumstance, where joy can oftentimes be in spite of circumstance. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying, you know, that you get excited and yes, hallelujah, praise God. I crash my car and here come the cops and I'm going to get a ticket. Praise you, God. This is awesome. And I'm not saying be silly about it and not, that makes no sense. But I can still praise God. I can still have joy in the Lord in spite of that because of the Spirit of God working within me. Filled with the Spirit of God. There's a joy. Someone defined joy as Jesus, others, and then you. And if you try to reverse it, it doesn't mean anything. I think it's yaj. But it's supposed to be joy. Jesus, others, and then you. Are you experiencing the joy of the Lord this morning in spite of life circumstances? Are you grumpy? Are you whiny? Are you a murmurer? Or are you experiencing the joy of the Lord in spite of whatever else is going on around you? You say, I really want to experience that. Well, how does that happen? By being filled, continually being filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, fill me right now. I'm not feeling it, Lord. Lord, do it, God. I'm not real happy right now. Lord, please fill me with the Spirit. In addition to discerning the will of God, there's a joy that comes to your life. But also, Paul makes mention here in verse 20, there is a thankfulness that flows from the life of a person filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know? And did you see here? He says, giving thanks always for all things. The Spirit-filled life is manifested in its expression of giving thanks to the Lord. I may not always be able to give thanks for everything, but I can still praise the Lord that I'm going to heaven, that I'm saved, that my sins are forgiven. There's things to be thankful for. And I don't know if you have this struggle, but when you're operating in the flesh, oftentimes rather than being thankful, you're pretty much grumbling about what you don't have or what God's not doing or what you don't possess and what somebody else has. And you get in that mode of being very ungrateful. But if you're continually being filled with the Spirit of God, you begin to just thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Don't we have so much to be thankful for? Don't we have so much to praise God for? I encourage you, in your time of prayer with the Lord, as you begin, it says, come into his presence with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Take time daily to thank the Lord for what you do have, what he has provided you with, what he has given you. And it makes such a difference. You don't find yourself wanting everything when you realize, wow, you know, when you think about it, I really have everything in him. I really have more than I ever deserved. I have much more than I could have ever tried to come up with myself. Lord, thanks. Thank you, Lord. Having a thankful heart as you're continually being filled with the Spirit. My natural inclination in the flesh is to murmur about all things. Oh, it's such a beautiful day. Ah, oh, but it's too hot. Oh, it's such clear skies. Oh, but it's too cold. Just, you know, get over it. You know, grow up, mature, be thankful. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for your life. You say, what's God's will for my life? Paul said, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for your life. Start there. Also, finally here, there is a submissiveness. There is a discernment of the will of God. There is a joyfulness. There is a thankfulness. There is also here submitting. Verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. This word submitting, and we'll talk about this more next week, it is the opposite of self-assertion. It's the opposite of an autocratic attitude. My rights, my thing, my agenda. It's the opposite of that. It's a submissive heart. It's a desire to get along with other people. It's being satisfied, get this, it's being satisfied with less than your due. Do you find that that comes easy for you? I don't. Being satisfied with less than what you think you're due. Hey, come on now. You know, no, the spirit-filled life is just submitted to the Lord. Being satisfied. It is allowing the Spirit of God to mortify my pride and to quench that and bring about Christian humility. This being submissive, it's fighting off the fleshly nature and its desire to promote self. And with this in mind, as you understand that this is what happens, then Paul will begin to go into, as we'll see next week, all of these relationships, husbands and wives. Don't miss next week. Children and parents, employers and employees. How can I have successful relationships with other people? You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be continually being filled with the Spirit of God. Why is that so important? Well, because I'm constantly fighting the flesh. There's a traitor within me and within you, in all of us. That old person, that old flesh that we're constantly fighting and battling and wrestling with and trying to overcome and seeing it and then repenting and going on. How do I do that? Be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Finally, why do I need this baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life? Well, one, I need the power to live the Christian life. I can't do it on my own. And God never intended for me to live the Christian life by myself in my own power. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Also, it's power to overcome temptation. The Spirit of God, being continually filled with the Spirit of God, I have the ability and the power to turn away from that which would drag me away from my Savior and cause me to stumble. Also, it brings about the ability to be a witness for Christ, an ultimate change in my life. You say, how do I receive that? Jesus told us how to receive it. In Luke's gospel, the 11th chapter, he said this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What do I need to do to get it? You know, you just simply, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit? Lord, would you baptize me with your Spirit? You just ask. He's a good father. He loves to give good gifts to his children. He won't withhold it. Now, for some of you, depending on what your background is, what your persuasion is, where you came out of, you've had hang-ups with this kind of teaching. You've had struggles with this because you had people say, kind of give the testimony, testify for us, brother. How were you filled with the Spirit? And someone got up and said, well, I'll tell you what it was. Here's how it happened to me. I took the whatever it was. And I laid it on the altar. I set it down. I said, God, this is yours. I laid it down on the altar. And there it is. It's consumed. And now I'm filled. Almost like there's this attitude of you need to earn it. You need to try. You need to be worthy of it. Were you worthy of salvation? No. Are you worthy of being filled with the Spirit? No. It's me simply saying, Lord, I'm unworthy. I already figured that out. That's why you came and died on the cross. So, Lord, fill me. Baptize me. You cannot earn it. Also, sometimes people have been stumbled or hung up when it comes to speaking of things of the Holy Spirit, because they've heard testimonies of people who have had tremendous experiences in this particular realm with the Lord. Someone said, yeah, I went to this place and I prayed and man, I just started bawling. And it was like, I was shaking all over. And, you know, I just, something like God just threw a lightning bolt down on me and my hair stood up. And I just felt like, oh, I feel it. Well, is that how it's going to be for you? Maybe not. Does that mean that you didn't have that experience because you didn't weep and convulse, or somebody didn't push you down, or you fell backwards and somebody said they were going to catch you and then they went like this and you smack? No. Does that mean that you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit? No, it doesn't mean that. It may be very simple for you. It may be just, Lord, baptize me with your Spirit. No lightning bolts, no shaking. I didn't even shed a tear. Oh man, it must have not been legit. Not necessarily. What you'll see as you pray that prayer in faith is over time, you'll start to see those natural things beginning to manifest themselves in your life. There's a joyfulness, there's a thankfulness, there's a submissiveness, there's a discerning of the will of God. It'll begin to reveal itself over time. So don't get stumbled or hung up by those things. If you don't see an immediate change overnight or something that you were anticipating, I was expecting a move of God. I didn't move anything, you know? It's not necessarily going to be like that. It may just be very simple, a prayer of faith. Lord, fill me. Lord, empower me. Jesus, I need you. It's very simple. And then the Lord will do that as you pray and ask him for that in faith. Will you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage and this exhortation by the apostle to be continually being filled. Lord, for some today, it may be that they have not yet been baptized with the Spirit. Lord, they are believers, they know you, but like it says in the book of Acts, we didn't know that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray if there are any here today in that place, that right now, they would offer up a prayer and just say, Lord, baptize me with the Spirit. And I just encourage you, as you're in prayer right now, if that's your desire, just pray that to the Lord in faith. Lord, baptize me with the Spirit. And he will. Lord, for others today, maybe they know that they've been baptized with the Spirit, but Lord, they just need a fresh filling of the Spirit of God, being continually filled. Lord, I pray that you would provide that for them today. And if that's where you're at this morning, just say, Lord, would you fill me today with your Spirit? Overflow me, God. Work in my life. Lord, just set ablaze my heart for you once again. I want to be on fire, Lord, for you in a greater degree. And God will begin to do that. And Lord, for some today, they may be struggling and discouraged over the fact that it seems that the Spirit isn't working in their life. But Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them your will. May the joy of the Lord be their strength. We ask these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning?